right. Chaz Schmid's previous research looking at differential anthracnose response to nitrogen fertility sources indicated that there were other soil nutritional factors potentially affecting anthracnose severity, things like soil potassium, soil pH, soil calcium. And so what I'm going to do this afternoon is summarize a three-year trial that Chaz conducted looking at K fertilization rate and source for their effects on anthracnose severity of annual bluegrass turf. Essentially, Chaz's results indicated that all potassium treatments reduced disease compared to non-potassium fertilized check. The potassium rates basically were not responsive above zero potassium, and so the rates that Chaz looked at were a little bit over 50 kilograms per hectare per year, a little over 100 and a little over 200 kilograms per hectare per year. Regarding the potassium sources, Chaz's results showed that there was a slightly less effective result with potassium chloride, this red line here. It was still effective, but not quite as effective as things like potassium sulfate, potassium carbonate, and potassium nitrate. Essentially, there were no other differences between those other three K sources in his trial work, so really, again, potassium chloride was the major factor there. This allowed Chaz to test the hypothesis of excluding the soil component of a soil profile for their effects, the potassium effects on anthracnose, and then focus the soil testing on the mat layer here, which is essentially where the very shallow root system of annual bluegrass is residing in this system. He also was able to look at the clipping tissue K level in the plots and look at these factors for the relationship between anthracnose severity and the K levels. He used nonlinear regression models to test this data. What I'm showing you here on the right is the data from 2013, and this data has been fit to the Kate Nelson nonlinear regression model. He also used a linear plateau method as well as a quadratic linear plateau model to assess the relationship between MAT K levels and tissue K levels with anthracnose severity. Essentially, the Kate Nelson separates this into two sample populations, a deficient population and a sufficient population. And looking at all these nonlinear regression model methods, Chaz and I came up with the conclusion here that the MAT K level that's anywhere from greater than or equal to 50 milligrams per kilogram using a maleic 3 soil extractant, as well as the tissue level of greater than or equal to 20 grams per kilogram of K, proved to be pretty good critical levels for deciding whether or not your system was either sufficient or deficient in potassium. Chaz also looked at potassium levels at different levels of MAT K, and that relationship showed that you could see the potassium levels in the tissue increasing up to about 30 kilograms per kilogram tissue as a maximum, and this occurred roughly at 100 milligrams per kilogram of K in the mat layer. The future research directions that we're going with this is to look at potassium rates with nitrogen rate interactions, and also we're continuing the work that Chaz started with looking at calcium and soil pH. The difficulty with the pH work is it's taken us a lot longer to get a broad range of soil pH levels in our plots than we anticipated. So it's going to probably take a couple more years, but we should be able to get these objectives of looking at K interaction with nitrogen and pH accomplished in the next 2 years. And with that, thank you for your time. I'll turn it back over to John.
I know Dr. Murphy's going to go next too, but we have 30 seconds for questions if anybody has a question. I have a question. How does that minimal level that you have there fit in with what pace and the minimal?
It's a little bit higher than what minimum level that's been published by Pace Turf Consulting, and it's very similar to the cutoff for low and very low potassium based on the published levels in Carol Waddington and Rieke's textbook. So it's very similar to that.